And the first scripture, 3 John 2, says, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God says in His Word, His greatest desire for us is that we prosper and be in health. So we're going to come into agreement with that tonight. Amen? Amen. Even as our soul prospers, to the degree that our soul prospers, to that degree we walk in prosperity and health. What's our soul? Our mind, our will, our emotions, our thoughts, our decision maker. Amen? Now, the only way that our soul can prosper to the degree that we walk in God's prosperity, God's health, is if we will hear the Holy Spirit. Hebrews, today, if you will hear the Holy Spirit, do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. Today, if you will hear. What was that talking about? The nation of Israel was taken out of Egypt by God with might and power, and they did nothing to get themselves out. God did it all by His mercy. And He brought them in on a 3-week journey to the promised land. He said, I have given you this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. So they sent the spies in. The 12 came back. They said, yeah, it's exactly what God said, but there's giants in the land. 10 said, we can't. Joshua and Caleb said, we can take them. Let's go. Now, understand something. In this case, they knew exactly what God had said, and they heard. They weren't ignorant. They weren't without knowledge. They knew what God said. And the scripture says they hardened their heart. What'd that mean? A hard heart will not act on or carry out what God says. Word of God tells us that if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That's a done deal. Every time I lay my hands on someone, healing comes. Every time. Oh, I wouldn't lay hands on anybody. What if nothing happens? That's a hard heart. You heard. Has everybody heard Jesus say you should lay hands on the sick and they will recover? End of story. No ifs, ands, or buts. But what if I never lay hands on anybody? Will they get healed? No. But you don't understand. I believe what Jesus said. I believe. Do you? Do you really? How can you tell? Well, I say all the right things. Do you? Do you really believe? You understand? I believe everything in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. There's not one thing in there I don't believe. Really? It's time to understand what it actually means to believe. Right? Today, if you will, that's an act of your will. I will hear what the Spirit of God has to say to me. I thank you I have an ear to hear what He has to say to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, by your grace, not a person in here will be dull of hearing tonight. I thank you, Lord, for opening their hearts, as you did Lydia in the book of Acts, to hear what your Spirit has to say to each one. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As a matter of fact, 30 years ago this month, Priscilla and I came from Florida to Quakertown to start the first church we started. So it's like the 30-year anniversary. Someone said, well, how long did it take you to prepare the last three messages and the one tonight? 30 years? Back in 1984, we started, and the Lord prospered us in what we were doing. And I found myself in a different role than I had the 5 years before that, where I was doing helps ministry and so forth and so on. And God was preparing us for what He was going to have us do at that point. And I found myself in a position where now I was responsible for money. Prior to that, it was just our personal finances. And my heart's desire was to handle the money the way that God would have it done. But I didn't know everything. And it was surprising how many in the ministry at that time didn't have any answers. So I went to the Lord and I began to pray over that. Late in 84, we got here in February. It was late, it was December-ish. And I was praying over it, and I said, Lord, I need you to teach me everything about handling your money. Now, I'm gearing myself up. I'm like, this is going to take like a 5-year study. And the Lord said to me, it won't take long. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is confronted. 34th verse. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 38. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and all the prophets. Flip over to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. We're going to read 8, 9, and 10 here. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, murder, steal, false witness, covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Well, wait a minute. I thought we didn't have to do the law. But wait, what am I reading here? I'm reading stuff about fulfilling the law. But I thought I didn't have to do it. How many of you think that the Ten Commandments just vanished and went away? Anybody? Do you know the word says the law is good? Yeah. So, one thing to prosper your soul tonight, stop thinking it's bad. And stop thinking it's evil. We got a lot of teaching. See, about the law, about grace. I get accused of everything. I get accused of hyper grace, hyper faith. I get accused of all of it. You know why? Because I only preach the word. If I'm going to be accused of anything, it's teaching the word. That'd be a good one. They try to pigeonhole me all the time. I have them sit in front of me. You're one of those. You're one of these. You're one of those. No, I'm not. I'm a son of the living God. And my foundation is my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm one of those. How many want a piece of that? Paul said, there is no other foundation that you can build in other than your relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Knowing Him is what this is about. Amen? Well, glory to God. What has this got to do with giving? Everything. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Let me clear it up for you. I don't want to leave you in this quandary. Romans chapter 10. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Verse 3. For they, he's talking about the house of Israel, the children of the house of Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Mark that down. To everyone who believes. End of the law for righteousness. Most of the body of Christ, let's say this is righteousness right here. Okay? Now, most of the body of Christ is on this side or the unrighteous side. They live their life before the cross. They live their life as though Jesus never went to the cross. How can you tell that? I can tell because most have yet to receive the fact, by faith, I am righteous. Let me ask you this question tonight. How many of you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior? How many of you, glory to God, all of you, how many of you understand that you are righteous? Okay. Now that you understand that you're righteous, if you sin, does that make you unrighteous? It does not. So therefore, I do not have to do anything to pay for it. Amen. It's already been paid. Well, you should at least feel bad. No, I shouldn't at least feel bad. Why would I have to feel bad? I'm trying to pay. And thereby taking away from the perfectness of the cross and the perfectness of the sacrifice and the perfectness of Jesus as that sacrifice. That's why he had to go free will. I lay my life down. Nobody takes it from me. Read the script. He passed. They were so scared of him, they brought a legion to get him of soldiers. Why? Because they could never get him. He passed through the midst of them. Just walk away. He went to the temple before he cast out all the money changers the day before. And he was in the temple the whole day. They didn't even know he was there. I got to tell you, there's nobody neater than Jesus, let me tell you. I mean, really. I mean, really. I see that, I go, whoa. Here's a guy they couldn't even touch, and he didn't have to fight him one whit. Nothing. Amen. I mean, I know a lot of people think a lot of things about Jesus, but one thing they cannot deny, if they look at him for just a couple of minutes, they got to say, this guy's really neat. Amen. Free will. Absolutely freely willing. What does this have to do with kingdom giving? Everything. In the kingdom of God, there is nothing that God would have us do for him. There's nothing at all that is even acceptable to him if we don't do it free will. Absolutely mandatory that in order for anything that we give or do for the Lord be with a willing heart. That's who God's looking for. His eyes to and fro the whole earth to find those whose heart is totally his, that he may strongly support them and all the wars stop. Amen. We need some wars to stop, don't we? Now, having said that, we go back to Matthew, and he says, the first and greatest is love the Lord your God. Okay? Now, in this room, I want to put this, this is how the Lord explained it to me in that regard. The word says, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Okay? All your strength. That's not the same for everybody. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your strength, all your mind, all your heart. And I found over the last 30 years, that changed for me. At first, I thought it was all. Then I found out about 12 years later, there was a lot more there for all. Then I found out about 20 years old in the Lord, so to speak, I found out, hey, there's a lot more there all. Amen? Amen. So don't get too hard on yourself. God knows. Amen? It's the motive. It's the intent of your heart. Lord, as far as I can tell, I'm all in. God says, okay, fine. Let's get going. 5 years later, I find out there's a little more to be all in. God is so great that he didn't tell me the first month after I received him as Lord and Savior what it was going to be 25 years later. I would not have been able to stand it. However, I was righteous, in perfect right standing with him at all times, even if my all was only 20%. And I found out later, the 50%, I found out later, but all that time, amen, I'm righteous. I'm in right standing. I could bust through the doors in the throne room anytime. Most of the time, I can tell if a person truly is received the gift of righteousness by faith by just hearing him pray. How many know that God can understand any kind of language? He can understand you no matter how you talk. One of my favorite prayers for a long time is, Lord, help. No big thing. He knows what I need help for. I don't have to describe it to him. Amen? Oh, magnificent, thou art the holiest God of all the universe. Hear me, please. Lord, can I do enough for you to hear me? How many of you know that's not righteousness by faith? I'll tell you another thing that isn't righteousness by faith. Trying to do enough to get him to do something for you. I don't see blessing. I don't see blessing in my life. I'm looking here and I don't, God, what do I got to do to get you to bless me? Yeah. Unfortunately, we hear it. We hear it from platforms. We hear it, you know, you need to do this so God will bless you. Really? My question is, are you doing it? That's living on this side of righteousness. I have to keep working to be righteous. I got to do enough to get God to bless me. I have to do enough so that God will hear me. I have to do this and that. Huh? And that's where most live. And the enemy will work on you to get you there. That's living on the backside of the cross. That's living BC. I got to come over here. And I got to know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've got to know by faith. And it's that by faith that caused that all over the years to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you understand that? God sees us as righteous. And by faith, and that faith works in our life, the power of that righteousness works in our life to bring forth fruits of righteousness. What is that? Doing the right thing at the right time with the right people. Walking in love. Brothers and sisters, church, if you're going to be led of the Spirit, He's going to lead you one way. Everything He leads you to do, everything will fulfill that love commandment. That's where He leads us. And if you look at it and you write down sometimes what He tells you and you examine it closely, you'll find that it lines up with love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. She gets it. Why would He lead us anywhere else? He wouldn't. Some people say, I don't know. It's a leading of the Spirit. You can know real easy. Is He leading you, empowering you, causing you to love God first? Love your neighbor second. Love yourself third. Now here's what the Lord told me. He says, very simple to handle my money. You apply that to your money. Think about it. Think about the wisdom of it. I have a wisdom that I can't miss. Are you hearing me? So now, Brother Jim, you wake up tomorrow morning and there's $1,000 there. Just came out of nowhere. Glory to God, and you know it's a blessing from the Lord. What am I going to do with $1,000? What are you going to do? You're going to love God first. You're going to love your neighbor second. And you're going to love yourself third. Why is this so important? Because Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, jot it down. Faith works through love. Love, through love. What does that mean? Faith works because of love, through love. That's what through is about. It's the channel by which your faith works through. See, our problem in the body of Christ is faith that's not working. That's our problem. Every time you got a problem in your life and it's not being resolved, you need to step back and say, Lord, teach me, show me, where is it my faith is not producing? Jesus said it would. Well, by and large, what you're going to find out is somewhere, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself got out of order. God is a God of order. God sets things in order. Devil is a confuser. He is a nasty dude. And one of the things that he's up to, he wants you to have your life out of order. Because once he has that out of order, he can wreak havoc on you. That's where the doors are. God said, in Romans, he says, see to it that you do everything according to the pattern that I show you. Father, in the name of Jesus, every single person in this room right now, I pray that you show them the pattern you have for them to solve any problem. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you. Some of you that have been here before, the last couple weeks, what is the least thing that we're to be faithful with? Money. It's quiet. How am I to be faithful with this unrighteous mammon? How am I to be faithful in these little things that I can be faithful in more? How am I to be faithful with someone else's that God will give me my own? Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. So you get the $1,000. What am I going to do with it? Well, the Word shows us what to do. Amen? Turn over to Genesis chapter 4, and let's take a few minutes to see about loving God and how that relates to the money. Genesis 4. This is the story, Cain and Abel. Verse 2 of Genesis 4. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Why? Well, some people say, well, it wasn't a blood sacrifice. It has nothing to do with this. It has to do with what they were doing with the work of their hands. And then it has to do with this. Cain, in the process of time, in other words, Cain took his old sweet time about bringing the offering. Time went by. The harvest was there. The increase had come in. And Cain goes, so what? Yeah, I'm supposed to give an offering to the Lord, but hey. Where do you think they learned this, by the way? Adam and Eve. How did Adam and Eve know it? God taught them. This is called the law of the first fruit. The law of the first fruit. What is a law? Law of works, law of faith, law of measurement. The kingdom of God is all spiritual laws that God put in place. I said the first and second week, Jesus commended, the worldly guy, because he used the principles of the world. He said the sons of light are not as good at it. At what? Understanding and knowing the principles of the kingdom, That's what Jesus meant when he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm giving you the spiritual laws that make these things work. Now remember, I'm already righteous. Right? It has nothing to do about getting right with God. What it has to do is I'm right with God, and that's why he's showing me this. Amen. The enemy cannot operate outside the spiritual laws. The devil cannot operate outside of the way God set it up. And so he comes in, he dupes us and gets us to use the spiritual law to work against us. He is not the hot rod people make him out to be. Revelation said, this is the worm that deceived the nations. He will take advantage of our lack of knowledge. He'll take advantage of the ignorance. He'll take advantage of the fact that we're not in here saying, God, I want to know and understand every word you said. Amen. Church, this is Jesus here. You're holding in your hand. This is not, doesn't contain the Word of God. This is Jesus. The Word became flesh. The Word was with God. And God put this in words for us so we can hold in our hand the truth. Amen. That includes the truth of being prosperous. That means the truth of being healthy. That means the truth of every spiritual law. The law of first fruit was one of the first. Proverbs, bring the first. Honor the Lord with the first of your increase, that your vats may be full and your barns overflowing. Are your barns overflowing? They're gonna be. Amen. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. How many of you are blessed? Every one of you. The Word says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and add no sorrow. I'm not going to ask you how many are rich. But let me put a definition on it for you, just a second, for you to think about. Rich is having more than enough. I like it this way. Rich is having way more than enough. If you're not having way more than enough, then you're eligible. You're eligible to learn the principles. You're eligible to put them to work. And you're eligible to be rich. The devil conned the church in so many ways. It's spiritual to be poor. No, it's stupid to be poor. See, we tolerate it. And because we tolerate it, we won't use our faith to change it. Whatever you tolerate, you put up with it. We don't limit him. See, in your mind, you're going, oh, that's so... Don't listen to your mind. It's lying to you. Amen? Well, one of the things that causes that kind of faith to come forth to see that change is that you and I are faithful with the unrighteous. This is the least. It's not about the money. It's about your faith. Amen? God's not looking for money. He's looking for your heart. Where's your heart at? Trust me. People will spend a tenth of their income on their idol. I see it down at Home Depot all the time in Lowe's. They're doing their tithe thing over there to fix their idol, their house. Come on. It's for real on weekends. Head down there and take a look. They're talking serious money here. Why? Their possession. That's my house. I want people to see how successful I am. That's the world. That's not us. Amen? But understand this. Don't let the world creep in. All right? Don't let the world creep into your thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you think. Amen? Turn over to Matthew 23. Two more passages of Scripture, and we should have enough to keep us thinking for a while. Matthew chapter 23. Alrighty. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So first of all, a woe is grief to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Grief to you, and grief comes from loss. So he's saying, this is a loss to you. You guys are tithing, but you're losing. This is a teaching on tithing. Jesus is teaching how to. It was never an issue. He's teaching how to tithe. All right? He says justice, righteousness, mercy or love, and then faith. He's saying these are the things that you pay attention to when you are tithing. They didn't do that. They were all about the law. God knows this has been abused in the body of Christ beyond mention. Okay? Been a lot of selfish ambition going on just to get the money out of people and all that. We know that. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That was all... Jesus called the Pharisees in Revelation, okay, the seed of Satan. Do you understand the only thing Satan has, because he's the spiritual law is made to work with us, the only thing he has is the law. That's all. That's why Jesus nailed it to the cross, the hand-winding of requirements before us. He comes to you and he tries to convince you God didn't do this for you because you ain't right enough. You didn't do this, this, and this. He tries to pull us from here over to here, eliminating Jesus. That's what the Antichrist spirit does. It takes away from what Jesus did on the cross and the finished work. Every time we add, we take away from what he did. Every time you add something, you take away from what he did. And eliminate that blessing. You got it? You hearing me? You say, well, I don't do that. Well, let's look at it a second. How many of you have said, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year? Anybody? Just shake your head up and down. Okay? Not many make it. They miss a day. They miss a couple of days. They get behind and all that. Now, you can go through it successfully if the Spirit of God told you to. But if you said, this is a really good thing, I want to do this, and you make that up yourself, you're going to add a punishment or a reward to it. And then, see, I've had people in the healing. I actually had people coming up for prayer for healing that said, I don't understand why God doesn't heal me. I read through the Bible in a year. What is that? Works, earning it. It's freely given. What are we talking about? Receiving. Now, if I don't understand what Jesus is saying here, I'm going to be at a disadvantage. One, he's saying you tithe out of righteousness. I'm already righteous, aren't I? By faith, aren't I? So what is the fruit of my righteousness? I love God. And therefore I give to God first fruit. Amen? Love. I love God. What am I going to do? I'm going to give to God first. First. The law of first fruit means first. So that $1,000, you don't do anything with it until you what? Give tithe. Now, what's the deal with the tithe? Listen, if first fruits were taught only, I guarantee you, the body of Christ, people would say, well, how much do I give? It was simple. God said, at least 10% to help us so we can account. Make it easy. Okay? He's not an extortionist like organized crime is. Give me my 10% or I'm going to bomb your place. But he's been portrayed that way. Not quite those words. But, you know, if you don't give your 10, you're going to get sick. You don't do this. How many of you know that God loves a cheerful giver? What is a cheerful giver? Freely willing. Not under duress, not obligation, not coercion, not threatening, not anything. And if you feel threatened, if you feel that you're being coerced, keep the money. I've gone to the Lord before. Lord, you asked me to do something. I'm not really willing to do this. Give me the willingness. Change my heart. So I'm willing to do it. Like come to Pennsylvania in February when it's like 9 degrees. I had 4 blankets on. You know how long it's been before I had 4 blankets? You, when you're in Florida, you're running the AC. And you got a sheet. Amen. But see, God loves you guys, and I do too. Do you understand that? All right. We're going to close it up with this. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, but being translated king of righteousness and then king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest. How long? Forever. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, although they have come from the loin of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes. People said, you know, the church never received tithes in that day. It says it here. It's 35 years after Jesus. Here, where? Right here, in this place, men receive tithes. Huh? Nowhere in the New Testament does it say, it says it right here. Check it out for yourself. Please. Look up the Greek. Check it out. Here, mortal men receive tithes. But there, he received them of whom it is witness that he lives. One of the first things that we... Do you believe in your heart Jesus is raised from the dead? The Word of God says because you believe in your heart he's raised from the dead, you bring the tithe. That's the action of what you believe. See, I believe this. I believe there are people that when they have a problem with what the Word of God is saying here, they forgot that Jesus is alive. And Jesus does want us to remember, doesn't he? You know, I've noticed that Christians, believers, act a whole lot different when they're conscious of the fact that Jesus is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, and when they're not. Did you forget today that he's alive? Did you forget yesterday that he's alive? So, well, I didn't forget. Did you pray? Did you talk to him? He's there. Wants to talk to you. Amen. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. As we honor the Lord with a tithe, free willing, as Priscilla and I had done that, we were tithing for our children and our grandchildren. And I've seen in their lives the benefit of it. Because when we were giving, okay, our children were still in, your children are still in your loins when you're giving. Word says right here, you're tithing for them. Amen? It's there, study it. Verse 11, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there was also a change of law. For he of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar. Now I'm going to skip down to 8. I would suggest you read all of that and study it. 17th verse, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It says it over and over. It's establishing Jesus in that same priesthood that Abraham gave the tithe to in Genesis 14. Why would God do that if it wasn't so much importance on the first fruit giving to the high priest? For nothing? Look at 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. I read that. I said, glory to God. Let me get close on this. Why? Because this is the main point. I have to tell you, the first two times I read Hebrews way back, I didn't understand one thing it said. I mean, I had to get down to business. I read the whole thing twice, and I said, to Priscilla, I said, I didn't understand nothing here. I was dull of hearing. I was, you know, I needed ears to hear. Amen? Now, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, capital O, have something to offer. Have something to offer. To who? Father God. On behalf of who? Us. Because he's the high priest who mediates the new covenant. He guarantees it. He guaranteed the new covenant. He guaranteed your healing. He guaranteed the promised land. He guaranteed everything. And he goes before the Father as the high priest for us. In the old covenant, and it's not a bad thing to understand what went on under the law, the sacrifices and offerings of the nation of Israel, sin offerings, whatever it was, were only as good as the high priest was. If the high priest wasn't on top of it, he was dead. Amen? Now let me close with this. I can list 100 of these things, but I listed 10. Do you believe that God is the possessor of heaven and earth? I bring my first fruits because I believe it. Do you believe that God owns all the wealth, all the gold, all the silver? I bring my first fruits because I believe it. Do you believe that all you have comes from God? I bring my first fruits because I believe it. Do you believe that God is your total source? I bring my first fruits and I honor God. Do you believe that he has blessed us? I bring my first fruits. Amen. Do you believe that he has completely defeated the enemy on our behalf? I bring my first fruits. That God totally stripped Satan of all authority that he stole from Adam. And he gave it back to us. I bring my first fruits. That the wealth of the unrighteous is stored up for the righteous. See, we've heard that. Now we need it to happen. Don't we? It's not happening to the degree because we didn't bring the first fruits. Abraham got the spoils. From where? The enemy. See, we need to bankrupt the enemy. That he has no money to get done what he gets done. To get elected who he wants to get elected. Amen. Time for a turnaround. We need to take our proper place. And if I'm taking my proper place, I'm honoring God. Let no man say that I was made rich, but other than Almighty God. And that's, amen? First. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead?
Yes, I do.
I give the first fruit. You believe that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Give him something to confess. And it needs to be agreeable to the word. He can't confess if you keep telling him what devil's doing. Because if he did that, we'd be in big trouble. Huh? Do we believe that he's the high priest of our first fruit? We give him the first fruit. And I've monitored this. I want to tell you that when God taught me about this, I want to say, last 35 years I did it perfect. No, I didn't. There were times where I didn't pay attention. I let it go. I did this. I'm telling you, things changed. And I'm telling you, when I got it back in order, things changed again back. I can line up dozens and dozens of people that I have taught this and worked with them and so forth, and they will tell you it was a mess and it got good. It's simple. Is God first? Then put him first. Keep him first. The first thing. I'm by the grace of God, Priscilla and I, whenever money comes, the first thing I think of is the Lord. First thought on my mind. Lord, where do you want the tithe to go? And sometimes he'll tell me that, and it'll be like 5 years. Same. See, if I say, where do you want the tithe to go? He doesn't answer me. It's the same. Sometimes God will speak to you and you'll do it for 20 years. You don't have to do anything until he talks to you again about it. Makes it easier. Amen? Than having to go all the time to get the same instruction. First. Where does this first go? You'd be amazed after you put the money first how easy it gets to spend the first part of the day with him. How the distractions go away. How the stuff doesn't keep happening to you. And all of that. Lord knows we're busy. We got to go to work. We got to get, you know, we don't get up in time. And this, hey, I understand all that. And so does God. But hey, it's time for the wars in your life to stop. And the best way for that to happen is God will put a stop to it. We don't need to be in debt. We don't. We don't owe no man anything except to love. I give to the Lord. Now I'm loving my neighbor. Before I go buy food, I pay my neighbor. And unfortunately, my neighbor happens to be the utility company where we didn't have electric for 5 days. I still had to pay them. But you see, you can get to the point when you get to neighbor and self, and that's the part you want to keep straight. You say, well, what do I do about the debt, this and that? People you owe money to, you get a hold of them. If you're delinquent, whatnot, I'm just throwing this in free for you. And you make an arrangement with them. Even if it's $5 a month and you owe $20,000. Now, you pay that $5, you love them. See, I know the utility bill is going to keep coming. Don't I? So in essence, we're in debt. Because it's going to keep coming. It just needs to be paid on time and not be delinquent. Will God pay that for you? Sure. If he's first. Why? Because you'll have the faith. You'll be able to tell that bill and the debts and all that when they talk to you with the ugly voice they do. Shut up. You're paid in the name of Jesus. Get off my case. And you know it's done. When? After God's first. Because faith. Do you see it? And don't walk out of here tonight saying, I got to try real hard to do this. Listen to me. How many of you want the finances in order? Father, repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I understand what your word says. And right now, Lord, I desire to be fruitful, to multiply, to be debt-free, to increase, to prosper in everything I put my hand to. And furthermore, I count the enemy defeated. And all wars in my life cease and desist. Now, Father, give me the grace to be willing to give to you first fruit. It's the desire of my heart. Now give me the grace to carry that out. Now, Father, I thank you for the wisdom. Father, in Jesus' name, cause that wisdom to help my understanding that I know in every situation how to handle the money you've given me. In Jesus' name. Amen.